This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. This episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future is sponsored by Jenny Becknell. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast. I am so glad you are joining me tonight. I have one of my dearest, bestest friends, who I love so much, to interview tonight. Her name is Kelly Mayer, and she has such a deep insight into healing and bruises and all of the things that she will define as we talk, I am sure, that lead into a great pathway for super deep healing. So, Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So good to be with you, my friend.
Yeah, I have wanted to interview you for a long time, and it took me a while to work up the courage to actually ask you.
Oh my gosh.
Just because I feel like you're a superstar in the arena in which I dip my toes of, you know, being open and vulnerable and walking with people into a deeper place of healing that even they were like unaware that they could, you know, step into. And God is using you, obviously, to lead, help me walk in that same path. So before we jump into all of that, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, where you come from, anything about your story that you want to share or feel free enough to share, go right ahead.
Sure. Well, my name is Kelly, and I am native to the Cincinnati area. I grew up in Northern Kentucky. And then after college, I moved away for about 10 years. I lived in Atlanta and Chicago. I was following the corporate path of real estate development, malls to be specific. And I just felt,
I didn't know that.
Who thinks about where malls come from, right? They just kind of get built and that's it.
All of a sudden they're there.
All of a sudden they're there. And so I worked for a lot of the big companies that did that work. And so I was the one who negotiated with the stores to put the Limited in malls all over the East Coast and particularly South Florida. I did a lot of work in South Florida. And then God started working on me. And it actually came through severe anxiety attacks. I mean, crazy anxiety attacks. And what it was, I believe, was that I was being called into who I was really created to be. And I was living so far away from that, that I think I had to feel the tension and the dissonance actually pretty intensely. And as soon as I was living in Atlanta at the time and then working in Miami, traveling all the time, living a very large lifestyle, let's just put it that way. Lots of shopping, lots of money, lots of corporate success and all of that. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, come these incredible anxiety attacks. Almost like imagine almost falling down an empty elevator shaft, that level of adrenaline 24 hours a day.
Ooh.
It was intense.
Oof.
And now in hindsight, I think that God had to allow it to be so intense as to get my attention and to allow, and because as soon as I made the decision to move home to Cincinnati, that anxiety was cut by 80%.
Wow.
And I was kind of seeking him. Like I would go to churches in Atlanta, trying to find a home. I was raised Catholic. I didn't go to Catholic school though. So I really didn't get the full exposure of the richness of the faith. And so as a result, I didn't really have an anchor. I would take my grandmother to mass just to be with her and, you know, things like that. And then when I lived in Atlanta and Chicago, I was always looking for a home. Now trying different churches, but what I was missing was my home city. I'm absolutely called to live in Cincinnati, and as soon as I made that decision to move home, the anxiety reduced tremendously, and I came home, and probably within, I don't know, like a week, five people said, "Hey, you need to check out this church that's meeting in a school." And I was like, "I do?" Because God, you know, he uses people and circumstances and all the things. So anyway, I found my home church and I found him in a way that was authentic to me. And but I had no idea of the level of intimacy and the level of healing that God wanted to bring into my life. And he did it in a really, really beautiful and gradual way, in a way that I could comprehend, a way that allowed me to understand what he was doing, having not really a good Christian foundational faith of biblical knowledge or teaching or anything like that. It took me a long time to really kind of find my way to operating in my gifts, and just I really was just he blessed me with so many experiences and people, and then things started to really shift supernaturally. A lot of my gifts started to pop out because I was probably ready to handle them, even though I was terrible at it. He had faith in me. I started to hear his voice, and I was, like, oh, what do I do with this? I don't know what to do. But fortunately, he had already put people around me that I could ask questions of. So, he provides what you need in advance, so that he can take you to new places and you don't, resist too much, because it's like it might be scary, but there's always at least a little bit of comfort. And then everything got even deeper from a healing standpoint. I had a profound deliverance experience with a ministry that has really just been such a blessing to me and to so many other people. And from that, I developed a hunger for wanting to help people get the most of the freedom that Jesus offers. Everything became clear to me who he really is when he says in Luke 4:18 and 19, his mission statement, that he said came to set the captives free, one of the things that he says in his mission statement. I just have a hunger for that. And in that process, can be very daunting and, unfortunately, very confusing, when it doesn't have to be. He's available. And so I started through in community with a bunch of other beautiful women like yourself, started to seek out what does it look like to really get the deepest wounds that have been inflicted on us through trauma, abuse, or neglect? What does it really look like to get to the depth of the healing that's available? And through just a lot of connections and people and trial and error and common sense and biblical truth and pure revelation from God, he just started to show me some ways. He did it for me, and then I understood how I might be able to help other people to understand, how he wants to solidify our identities into the way that they were originally created, what the way that he originally created them to be. And he taught me that even though you had really severe trauma, abuse, or neglect, that not all of you is damaged. It's a part of you. And that clarity changed everything, because a lot of times, shame can take over, and shame is just deadly, right? It's not from God, and it confuses us and it sets us back. And so he just began to show me, like, what kind of overcomers a lot of us who are doing this inner healing work together have been, how he's been there the whole time. And now we're to the nuance part. Now we're to the finesse part, where when we understand that not all of us is damaged, a part of us, we can just focus on the part. There's not total shame and condemnation for what? We were children when most of these things happened.
It also doesn't become your identity. It kind of
No.
removes that, which when you go through trauma, you tend to make that your identity,
Yes.
right?
Right.
I might have caused this, or I'm
Yes.
guilty
Yes.
for this. I'm bad.
Yes.
I'm ugly. I'm
Yes.
dirty. Whatever it is.
Right.
And so when you're talking about that, that is separating out the identity from the part that was damaged. So I
That's
kind
right.
of heard that as you were talking, and
Yes.
I think.
And separating it from the emotions that you were feeling, because a lot of times the emotions that we were feeling during the trauma become the identity lie. Feeling insignificant, feeling dismissed, feeling a certain way becomes it's a perversion, right? It becomes your identity. You think you are the thing that the emotion is having you feel, and that's where the lie, that's where bringing the truth in and replacing that lie with the truth through revelation directly from Jesus is so critical. And it's because of the supernatural power that comes when that word is revealed. It does the healing, it performs the healing. The hardest part is accepting it, honestly, is that dissonance, resolving that, allowing the supernatural revelation to calm the dissonance between what we've believed for so long subconsciously. It's been running like a motor, a subconscious motor underneath our thought patterns, our behavior for so long, that like feeling the dissonance when you hear the truth from God. And it's obedience to accept it, whether you feel like it or not, whether you really believe it. It is out of pure obedience that you say, okay, God, I've said for 50 years that I am dismissed. I mean nothing. I am dismissed. My feelings don't matter. But what you say is that I am called. In accepting that that is the replacement truth for the lie, because they're not the antonym of each other. You would never say, oh, the opposite of dismissed is called. You could nuance that a little bit, but not logically. But
Right.
to me, it makes perfect sense, and it has power and revelation in it. And I have had to accept the truth. The truth is that I am called. I'm called to order is really what he said. And you have to fight off feeling arrogant. You have to fight, you have to, through your faith, activate your faith to accept the truth of what he says. And then from there, that supernatural, the acceptance triggers the supernatural power where the healing comes. And then you will get the opportunity through a test to show that you've
Solidify
accepted,
that truth.
to show the teacher that you have accepted the truth. And it's a little scary, and it can be a little challenging, but the fruit that comes, it triggers more healing, right? So it's a repetitive process of building our faith, and God is very, very kind in that. And then you begin to operate out of it by choice. If I feel dismissed in any circumstance, which happens a lot when you're my age, I now have a smile on my face, because I know that if I reject the dismissal situation and look to the kingdom and look, okay, what needs to be called to order, right? What ministry is right in front of me that needs to be called to order? Da, da, and I do that, the fruit is ridiculous. And so now a dismissal means something else. A dismissal means, oh, I know what to do. I'm going to go over here, call this thing to order, and watch the fruit explode.
It's like an opportunity, right?
It's an opportunity. It is, because isn't that just like God? To turn something
Absolutely.
would rip your heart out ordinarily. The pain of that would rip your heart out. Becomes There's no pain, there's actually like excitement, like, oh great. Because if Jesus told us to forgive 70 times seven, the only way that you can do that is from a position of it, of whatever the pain was, not hurting anymore, because you know who you are. Otherwise it becomes a law, it becomes religion. Oh, I have to forget, I have to do it, I have to do it. You want to do it when you know who you are. And only he can tell you that. And it doesn't, it does not, the degree of your trauma, the degree of your abuse, the degree of your neglect, he will give you the right amount of potency in the truth to heal whatever level you've endured. The revelation,
Interesting.
the depth of the revelation is equal and greater than, equal to or greater than the pain of what you've endured.
Wow, now that's a little mind-blowing, really, when you
It
think about it. Because as you
is.
were when you were talking about how when you feel dismissed, you call to mind the truth that God had said that you are called. In my head, I immediately thought of that lie conjured by a very subtle enemy, because he sometimes he's not blatant, right? I think he wins more battles being subtle.
Oh,
That
yes.
subtle lie kept you from where God wanted you to go, right? And he like
Absolutely.
somehow he'd started that from like he's just waiting for that open door, that open moment, thing like things that you've made agreements with, things that have been spoken over you. I think it was called gateways, like there are gateways in which the enemy can enter through
Yes,
the ministry
pain.
down in Atlanta. Yeah. So as you were saying that, I was like, oh, wow. So he really is that subtle that he had that roadblock for you and that you were dismissed and you didn't even verbalize. You didn't even know it.
It's
A
in,
lie so deep.
yes, that it was almost like encoded is the
Yeah.
best. If you think about like a computer program, or it was encoded and embedded because the trauma happens so young, and your brain develops around it. So what that would look like for me before deliverance was that if I would be dismissed, first of all, then I would kind of foment insurrection. So I mentioned I worked in, commercial real estate development. And what that looked like was if I operated as if I was dismissed, first of all, and that would keep me distant a little bit, like, oh, I'm going to be over here. I'm going to be doing my own thing. I was always the top performer, right? So they would give me all the accounts and I made all the money, but I never got into the C-suite. Because there was a feeling of, you know what, we just can't, we don't, we love you. Go keep, you can perform all you want, you can have all the accounts you want. But when it comes to receiving equity and real wealth and being part of the inner circle, I was dismissing myself by not allowing myself to be known and seen for who I really am.
Oh,
That's
wow.
how, that's how the dismissal bruise worked. Right. So always keeping me away from the true prosperity, the true leadership opportunities that I could have been. I mean, I was a leader in my industry, but not at the level where, where you really, really kind of are acknowledged and excel. And so then I would kind of foment insurrection and behind the scenes, well, I'm happy over here. I don't really want to be part of that group and blah, 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 all of that kind of stuff. Dismissing my emotions. So I was it was just a continual dismissal. It's unbelievable, actually, when you start to look at it. But I couldn't see that. If you had held a gun to my head, I would have never in a million years had that revelation.
You probably would
Never.
have said, I'm very capable. I'm
I'm
doing everything.
perfectly happy.
Yeah,
It doesn't
everything's
matter.
great, right?
I'll just make money another way, but constant, and but then I would people please to keep the performance level high so that I could not feel the pain of the actual dismissal, which was you're not coming in the C-suite and we're not giving you equity. Yeah. That's
Yikes.
the And that's the subtlety and that's the slickness of the enemy is to develop to inflict these wounds early with in situations that, parents either sometimes are doing the best they can or they're just completely incompetent. God bless them. And in that there are children in the mix of that and they get caught in the pain of parents who aren't doing what they need to be doing. And that's where he works. That's where he works.
So for listeners who have not gone through wholeness and they don't understand all of this process, high level overview. You have a wound that occurs early.
You have a wound that
So
occurs early, right? And then from there, because you're a
from
child,
any kind of trauma, right? Any kind of,
trauma, abuse, neglect, and the really important thing is to not judge, well, my situation wasn't that bad. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe, because your wiring and your sensitivity and your gift set and the way God's created you to be, what doesn't sound like abuse or emotional abuse or neglect to someone else is to you. And so you can't judge it as, oh, it's not that bad or whatever. You have to evaluate and look at how, just in your unique situation, because you are not like any other. You're created intricately and uniquely. So what hurts you may not hurt another,
I
but
heard
it
a
might hurt you severely.
yes. I heard a quote from a gentleman by the name of Blake Huelsman, and
I love Blake Hulsman.
he's a great guy. But he said this quote as part of a talk, and he just said it, and it was so quick, and I just latched onto it because I thought, man, that perfectly defines where you are in childhood. And he said anything less than nurturing for a child is traumatic. So
Absolutely.
that can
Absolutely.
be anything, just like you were saying, and doesn't mean that it is traumatic, but it could be traumatic for a child if it's less than nurturing. And I just think for what you're saying, that's
Well,
exactly it.
because children are there is nothing self-sufficient about being a child. You can't go get a job. You can't escape your family of origin. You can't feed yourself. You can't go get out. You're trapped. You're subject to whatever is being given out, and and crumbs are not sufficient for a child. That, we're to be enriched and to be nurtured and to be our identity spoken into us. And unfortunately, not a lot of our parents were quoting Psalm 139 over us. I mean, not by any stretch. That's the farthest thing that was going on. And a lot of a lot of us have parents that are just simply emotionally immature, just not capable of understanding, especially like I'm 62, right? My parents were products of the 50s. They were drinking malts and going to the hop. And then they got married, and then the 60s happened, right? And the world blew up and it changed. And there was disappointment in the Camelot imagery and all of the things. And they were emotionally ill-equipped to have four children by the time they were 25 and 26 years old. I mean, it was, there's no way. And so as a result, you learn how to survive. And that is a feral condition when you're having to scrap to provide yourself with emotional safety and control any way you can get it as a 3 or 4 year old. I mean, obviously, a lot of bad thinking is going to happen there, a lot of bad programming in our very beautiful and neuroplastic minds is going to happen. Thank goodness for the neuroplasticity of our mind, because that's what happens in the healing process. Anyway, back to the process of being wounded, from that emotional neglect or physical neglect, abuse, we start to figure out and we start to judge ourselves, because there's nothing to compare it to. There's no truth to compare it to. We start to make these self-identifying statements of I am the result of this horrible situation. I'm probably responsible because I'm a child and I'm self-oriented. I am responsible. So I have one of my lies used to be, I am responsible for every bad thing everywhere.
Oh, wow.
For everything,
That
every bad thing everywhere.
that's a heavy responsibility.
I am in trouble. I am a nuisance. So you start to, because you're judging. These are all observations of you as a terribly young child, observing, how do I fit into this? and making a judgment about it so that you can process it mentally and know how to survive it. Right. So I'm not going to get what I need. So I might as well understand that I am dismissed. I am unwanted. I am whatever. And that allows, unfortunately, it gives you a very strong survival instinct,
Yeah,
but
because
in all the wrong ways.
the strategies you create, right?
Right. Yeah, you develop survival strategies. And then, there's always you, there's usually a loving grandparent somewhere. There's always some hope because God doesn't leave us. There's always someone.
Oh, that's good.
Always someone who
That's
steps
good.
in, a teacher, a grandparent, somebody. It starts to soften things, right? We get more educated. We go to school, that we start to develop. So, and that's where all the, we may go grow up in church and have all the blessings of that. And so again, it's a part of us. We develop, we get healthy things, we find love, we go to school, da da da, we get married, we have children. Not our whole life is a garbage can when you've endured trauma. A part of us, right? But that little wounded 3-year-old part needs healing desperately because it's kind of the concept, it's called like the little toe idea, is that if you bang your pinky toe on something, a tiny little part of you causes so much disproportionate pain that
Oh,
it's hard
yes.
to fathom. It that's the idea. The little part of you that never got healed, when it gets kicked, causes outrageous disproportionate pain above and beyond the situations in the natural in our adult lives that warrant that kind of responsibility and or that kind of response. And so that's when you're being given clues. When you have emotional responses to situations that are over the top, that's when you know, oh, my bruise, there's a bruise in me that got kicked, and there's a lie attached to that wounded part of me. Lord, what is it? What do I believe about myself that causes me so much pain? And he'll reveal it. He'll give you the word. I've never in a million years would have said I am dismissed. Never. It was a supernatural revelation that explained everything. And he will do that for any one of us.
Was it like mind-blowing when that first core lie was revealed to you? Was it like,
Oh,
did you
yeah.
almost like want to like put your hand to your chest, step back and go, what?
It was like a
What?
physical wound.
Yeah.
It was so real. And so because, a lot of this trauma gets trapped in the time in our body. It's not of now. It's old.
Yeah.
It's old. It's been hanging around for a long time, but a lot of it has memories attached to it that we've never had. The trauma occurred. It's absorbed in the body and stored in the brain, but that we've never had a memory of it because it's too painful. Right.
The
So
brain
when,
does that coping. Yep.
right. And so when things start thawing out, oh, here comes the memory. Here comes the memory I've never had before. And that is shocking. And it's the healing. It's where the healing gold is, because that's when you know that God's on the move in an inner healing mode, because these things have to be released. Right.
Have you ever had a memory associated with a core lie that you'd had the memory before the core lie and you just thought, oh, well, that was nothing. That
No.
wasn't anything. Okay.
No. The I am dismissed, what I brought, the memory that was associated with it was I was 8 years old, and it was the day my sister came home from the hospital. She's 7 years younger than me. And when my parents walked in with this new daughter, I disintegrated. I could feel it. I was kind of in that moment because the thought was, oh, that now they'll have the daughter they really want. Yeah. And I looked like it felt like the inside of me disintegrated. Yeah. And then I had a vision of everyone getting in the station wagon to go home. We were at my grandfather's house, the grandfather who abused me. And I had a vision of myself as the family dog tied to the bumper. that everyone inside the car was wanted, but I was not. And that was the enemy, because I see prophetically in pictures. And that was the enemy perverting my spiritual
Yeah.
the time, right?
Wow.
Defeat. So we have been being fed pictures and words into our, an attempt to get those into our spirit for a long time. I mean, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And he's
Yes.
on the job around children. And so
Yeah.
that's how he works. It's how he operates. It's cruel and
Yes, it
it's
is.
shocking. But that steal, kill, and destroy is not, oh, slightly annoy or get on your nerves or maybe make you irritable. It's we need to understand the true venom there.
Yeah.
And then we do a better job of protecting our children. Then we do a better job of speaking their identities to them. We have a better identity. We have a better sense of how important it is to tell them who they are, to understand their spiritual gifts and develop
Yeah.
them good, and to be able to reject the bad. I had no idea what everything I was feeling, seeing, sensing in this. I thought everybody had weird stuff like that. Nope, apparently not.
It was your gift manifesting early, obviously, because you were born with that gifting. And that stealing, again, back to like his subtlety and how he knows just how to hijack your calling, right? That's the steal.
That's the seal.
And the kill, like I'm reminded of people that will tell themselves, because I did it for a long time, I'm not worthy to be alive, or I'm not worth what everybody else is, and so that's the kill. And then the destroy is like destroying your identity. I mean,
That's right.
of course, that's not all Satan does, but I'm just in the context of this and thinking about the wounds, like, oh my gosh, he does all of it through core lies.
So that we will do the pain to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it flies in the face of Jesus's commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. It prohibits us from obeying God, from obeying Jesus's command to love ourselves.
Oh, yeah,
That's
that's
the
good.
goal. That's the goal.
Yeah,
It
that's good.
To torture us, because when we fall in love with Jesus and we want to please him, that's where the real pain is that if we can't love ourselves, we can't love others, because we're operating out of these wounds that were inflicted so long ago. But Jesus is always victorious. He will
Amen.
always reveal the whole plan to you. He will show you exactly what's been going on, exactly what happened, and what he says. And when he speaks to it, when he speaks to that lie, you grab it, you accept it, and you activate it, which means you put it into motion in your life to produce kingdom fruit.
That's awesome. So, if for the listeners, if they wanted to explore the whole process of wholeness, deliverance, the whole thing, what are some recommendations you could give them to just start figuring that out?
So there's a really great book. It's called Prophetic Deliverance. It's by Tim Mather, Mather. And he is the founder of a ministry that many of us, thousands of us, have been to for really beautiful, safe, kind, biblically accurate, thorough deliverance. And
Amen.
not just the deliverance itself, which is spiritual surgery, but the teaching around it, the understanding of these concepts, right?
Yeah. Yep.
In a family ministry environment that's very, very loving, very, very nurturing. And quite honestly, the people from all over the world go to, it's called Bear Creek Ranch. It's located in Cartersville, Georgia, or White, Georgia, I should say. And it's a little bit of a pilgrimage, right? There's something really beautiful about saying, Jesus, I'm clearing. It's like our camps at Crossroads, right? I'm going to clear my schedule. I'm going to dedicate this time to you because I know you have something for me that's really, really important. And so that, and then after that, oh my goodness, there's so many inner healing resources. And the Bear Creek will equip you with some, and then there are more. There's a lot of amazing work being done in the inner healing world. And one of them is a secular, it's actually a secular therapy model that you can really do yourself. You need to bring Jesus into it, but it's called internal family systems. It's that parts language that I was referring to about understanding that a part of you is damaged, not all of you, and that we're complex. We're very complex. You know, we had trauma at different ages. There are different parts of us that need wholeness. And it really correlates with Psalm 56, 51, 6, where David says, "Lord, you desire truth in my inward parts." And that's what Jesus wants to do. David was a man of very
Amen.
complex interior world. We all have a complex interior world, and it's beautiful. And Jesus
Amen.
wants to heal it by bringing the truth into it.
I love that so much. I never heard it put that way, but that is so good about a complex interior
It
world.
is. There's a
It's,
lot going on down there.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. So we don't have much time left, but real quick. So you do a wholeness group that was kind of birthed out of
Yes.
what you went through in Bear Creek, some other local ministries, Barren Camp Ministries local to Cincinnati, and just some research that you've done on your own. When did God call you into like walking with, if you will, like what was the birth of that? Like, did God say this something to you, or was it just the natural progression of, oh, I think I should do a wholeness group and maybe just hang out with some folks and discuss
That's so
this?
funny. When I came back from Bear Creek, the quiet in my head was so profound, and I was like, wow, this I knew something big had happened, and I had a sense of, oh, there's more. I just don't know what to do next. And so I called some friends, some I call them the OGs, the
The
people that
OGs.
the OGs that went to Bear Creek, gosh, 10, 15 years ago. And I'm like, how do you do that? What do you do when you get back? Da, da, da. Anyway, so a bunch of they gathered together, and I just sat there. We sat in a circle in a friend's basement, and they just started speaking. And the revelation, simple things, you know, just simple things about what that God was uncovering in them, and it would heal me. It would bring revelation to me. And I thought, oh, okay, I get it. We're supposed to be in community. We're supposed to sit in a circle. We're supposed to share what we're hearing. So I just started gathering women that had been and just said, hey, I don't, you know, do you want to get together and we're going to do some inner healing? And we fumbled around with some different ideas of how to run the group and blah, blah, blah. But what happened was the Lord started speaking profoundly to people and
Nice.
would come into the group with wide eyes to share. It would, their revelation would heal, boom, 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 around the circle. Other people will get revelation. It was just this popcorn effect. And so I was like, oh, okay, I
Oh,
get it.
nice.
Get it. And then we started putting some structure around it with some so we weren't, you know, because we were it could go on. We had 50 women in a circle. That took a lot of time.
Wow, I bet it did.
It took a lot of time. It was worth it. And again, our relationships were became so deep and so intimate. And just that safe place to tell people things you've never told them before. We had people talk about childhood sexual trauma they've never told anybody about before. And so it just became a safe place, and a completely judgment-free. I mean, like no judgment at all, because we were just so desperately seeking Jesus. What are you going to do with this? And from there, you know, over time, COVID came, you know, we split into two groups, we moved to Zoom, we did all the things that we had to do, but we never stopped. I've always had an inner healing, a post-deliverance inner healing group going, because that's my all always. And it's been 8 years, it'll be 8 years this year. Yeah. Always.
That's amazing.
It's that important. It's that important. And I still get revelation. I just got a new Coralie Uncovered 2 weeks ago, I think probably. But of course now the revelation comes faster, the healing, the insight comes faster because I have people to talk about it with. I'm talking to you about it in our group, right? I'm talking to all of our friends that are in this group, and that's what's really important. And it's an open group. I mean, I'm all anybody, any church, any but one that goes that wants to heal. Yeah, I love, it's an honor and a privilege to just be able to host a safe space, really, with some basic infrastructure, some basic teaching, and then just encouragement to really go directly to the source, just go directly to the Lord for the revelation. And that's the key.
The renewing of the mind, right?
Romans 12 too, and physiological things. I mean,
Oh,
I've
yeah.
people have profound physical healing as a result of deliverance and inner healing. You know,
It's
because
amazing.
well, that makes sense, right? All that
Yeah.
darkness, trauma, and hurt—that's a ripe, growing environment for disease and bitterness,
Oh.
rightus, and all of the spiritual roots of things. They have a place to grow there. But when the light of Jesus comes in, the disease leaves because you're not, because you are at ease. You're not diseased any
Yep.
longer.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's like the scientific explanation is the ACEs, which is the measure of the childhood traumas that you've had in your life. And I
Right.
think there are 10 questions, stuff like, have you ever not had enough to eat? Have you ever been physically abused? Were you in a household that was violent? What have you? And they say they could actually measure that out. That if you had up to four ACEs on like four of those items that you scored yes in, that you were more likely to have asthma and
Oh, yeah.
disease and all of the things. So it was a
Oh, absolutely.
scientific explanation for how trauma can affect lifelong, and that those were diseases that went well into adulthood.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
some of what you do, or a lot of what you do, is you're putting the spiritual language to here's spiritually how trauma wounds the soul, and it keeps you bound and in a lie and from the truth of what God wants you to walk in.
Absolutely. It's just
So,
more, it's more theft, it's more killing, it's more destroying.
yeah.
You know, from the
Wow.
soul to the body. Right.
Awesome.
But not when
Yeah.
you expose it to Jesus.
No, that's right, 'cause Jesus can come in there and totally make everything new.
Oh,
And
he does.
what's amazing about that for me is I never thought I would have as much freedom as I have. And I was a believer for a lot of my adult life, but I did not fully
Right.
have a place of freedom. And
I know.
it's,
That's the idea. That
yeah.
is the enemy's plan, is to always keep you in that place of, but oh, I love Jesus so much. Why don't I have more freedom? And not
Right.
being able to understand why. That's right. Because it happened so long ago. And we dismiss, speaking of dismissing, we dismiss it. We
Yep.
dismiss what will happen to us because we're trying to put it behind. Oh, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It matters to Jesus. It's an offense to him.
Right. And I've heard people put a spiritual spin on that and say, well, the Bible says you press
Right.
forward and you don't look back. And it's like, but that's not exactly what that means. I
No,
think you're
that's right.
misusing that scripture, but for someone that's had trauma and they need to go back, they need
Yes.
to look back, they need
Yes.
to walk with Jesus through those really hard spaces and unravel all that junk. Yeah,
Right.
that's totally what God wants to do as healer. It's what Jesus wants to do is restore,
And he's
right?
outside of time.
Right.
He's
Oh, I love
outside of time.
that.
And honestly, this doesn't take forever. I mean, I've been in a healing group for 8 years, but that's my choice for accountability and community and friendship and all of that. It doesn't take forever because one nanosecond of revelation can change your life.
Yes.
I mean,
Yes.
that's
Amen.
it. It changes your entire identity and your life fruit of my life. And he says that he will restore the years the locust have eaten, which means he heals your memories. So even then, when the revelation comes in this present day, as you look back, you don't have the same pain. You can see the good things. You can see, because not all of everything was horrible. There were moments that were beautiful. Do we remember those in trauma? No, we don't, because we're, there are all the things that are happening in our brain. But as we're older and he restores and he heals the memories of it.
The
The
narrative.
narrative. It's not that it didn't happen. He doesn't erase your memory, but it's just that the focus, the pain, it's not that the magnetism of the pain is gone.
Yeah, you're no longer myopic, right?
It, that's right. That's exactly right.
Well, we went a little longer than normal, but this has just been so fantastic. I probably could sit here for hours and talk to you about wholeness and deliverance and how God is so good to want to walk with us to get us to a place of our freedom, because that's what he died and paid for, is our freedom.
That's right.
And
We
that
have to
was
get
play.
every drop of it.
Amen. Amen.
All right,
All
sister.
right.
We'll go on in our own personal journeys together.
That's right. That's right. I've personally gotten so much out of going through this wholeness group, just
Awesome.
re-looking at core lies that God still wanted to reveal that I did not realize I needed to like work to reveal and it's been good because I know at the end of it, it's going to be a better place of freedom, a more abundant life, right?
Life to the full. There it is. That's right. That's the promise.
Amen. I love it. So, well, thank you for joining me tonight and
It's a
being
pleasure.
my guest. And I adore you. I know you know that, but
I
I
adore
figure I
you as
gotta do
well.
it.
I adore you as well. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you. I'm honored.
All right, folks, until next time.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2025 by Parable Road, LLC.